Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a wonderful morning again to be with you all and get to be able to bring to you God's message. I have enjoyed so fondly the worship so far, and I pray that we can continue on as we go through us in God's Word. I want to say a big thank you to Cliff and to Travis for a wonderful night we had Friday night in our Gateway celebration and song. A lot of people don't realize this, but we get to go home at 10 o'clock. But Cliff and Travis and their families were here till a lot later, and I am very grateful for them and all the hard work they put in. That was my first time to be a part of that, and it was awesome. This room, everybody, I think, came up here, and all the song leaders and everything were letting us know that this room was just a beautiful room for acoustics and everything. So it was a wonderful night of singing, and that 3 hours went really, really fast. And so I was very thankful for that, and I can't wait till next year, and I want to encourage everybody else to come out next year as well and see how many. We had to rope off the back pews. Maybe next year we don't have to rope off anything, and we can fill this room up with everybody. That would be wonderful. Now, this morning, we're going to be starting a new sermon series where we're going to be talking about spring cleaning and talking about getting the old out and putting the new in. Now, we think about this time of year, and a lot of us are taking all of those coats and those heavier clothes, our flannels guys, you know, those really cool shirts that we like to wear in the wintertime, and we're starting to put them away because wearing flannel in the summertime is not enjoyable. And so now we're putting them all away, and we're putting all the darker colored decorations, and we're getting all the colorful decorations out, and we're starting to change things up in our house. And that's what we do during this time of year. And we try to spruce things up because we're coming out of the months that we usually associate with seasonal depression, and we're coming into the bright, sunshiny times where we get to get out and go do things and enjoy the outdoors. Well, we're going to be talking about that same idea in a spiritual sense throughout this entire month, about how we can get the old out and bring the new in, how we can make sure that we have gone through that transformation process that we are called to do in our spiritual lives. Now, as we get closer to understanding what we're going to be talking about this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to be looking specifically at verses 24 through 28. It is a wonderful passage. It's probably familiar to you, and so we're going to be discussing that passage and talking about how we can make sure we don't have an empty house. Now, when we start to think about this idea of an empty house and things like that during the summer, during this time of spring cleaning, we are usually rearranging different things in our home, right? We take all of those winter clothes out, and what do? We fill that space with our summer clothes, our springtime clothes. And maybe there's a place in your house where you've had this winter decoration and you move that. What happens to those empty spaces? Oh, it gets filled up with something, right? We can't have empty spaces in our house. They have to be places where we can put something. When I was in farming and doing that, during the springtime, this was the time when we were getting our fields ready. Now, a lot of our fields were in winter wheat, so we were getting ready to harvest all those fields. But then there were some where we said, hey, let's put some summer crops in there. A lot of people who have been in the ag industry around here would understand summer crops. And so we would go through and we would make these fields all nice and clean. They would be empty of every weed possible. And then we would try to make sure we would get rain. Now, obviously Tennessee does not have an issue with rain. But Northwest Oklahoma, when your average was 24 inches a year, okay, average, I felt like most of the time we didn't get nearly 20 inches when I lived there. And so it would be a guessing game whether we were going to plant summer crops or not. But we would make sure we would have those fields all nice and pretty so that we could do it. Now, there were some times where we would just say, okay, we can't get to that field, and we would leave it what we called fallow, and it just wouldn't have a crop put into it. Now, what do you think happened to that nice, clean field throughout the summer? Here came all the weeds. Oh, and it was lush. Those weeds, pigweeds, ragweed, Johnson grass, all of that would start coming up, and it would pretty much destroy that field. Cows don't want to go into it because they don't like pigweeds, because if you've ever walked through a field of pigweeds, you wouldn't like them either. And because we left it empty, all the weeds would take over. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning about that same idea, that same principle, and how if we leave our lives empty, Satan will try to fill it. Now, I want you to look with me in this particular text. It is a wonderful text. I've been blessed to be able to go through it this entire week, and I love looking at it specifically in its context and understanding what Jesus is truly trying to teach here. Notice in these verses, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Just another side note, I want to say thank you to everybody who came up to me and said they did their homework this past week. Good for you. That is awesome. And I hope that you continue to do that on letting God know that he is your only God and that you love him with everything. Now, that has also encouraged me to do what? Give you more homework. So just tune in to the very end of this lesson. But notice what Jesus is trying to teach here. I want to look at these first few verses in verses 24 through 26 first to help us understand the context. Now, what is the context of this particular passage? I want you to go back to Luke chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Notice, in some of your Bibles, you'll have different passage headings, and they'll let you know that a new context or maybe a new discussion is happening here. Well, notice in these verses, verse 14, Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. Verse 15, But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Now, I want you to remember, I taught a sermon on this not long ago about the house divided, because in Mark's account, when this particular discussion comes about, Jesus will tell them that a house divided can't stand, right? If I am casting out demons by the power of Satan, that would be ridiculous. But see, now Luke is mentioning this same speech in a different context. In a different understanding, notice how he is applying it here. Notice that he continues to go on and say, while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided house falls. See, that was the main message in Mark. But notice how Luke continues, and he helps us understand there's a different application to this as well. In verse 18, And if Satan also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, verse 21 and the following verses will help us narrow in a little bit more on what's happening in the verses that we're studying this morning. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so now he introduces this topic here when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person. Now, in verses 14 and 15, what did Jesus just do? He cast out this unclean spirit that was causing this man to be mute. Now, notice what he's going to do here. He's going to say, look, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. Now, that is a really cool study in itself. And there are multiple verses in the Old Testament, in Isaiah specifically, that refer to arid, desert, waterless places as being the home to these creatures of the night, to these evil spirits, these evil creatures, right? And so, just an interesting idea that demons don't like water, right? They like to go to waterless places, and it's always made me question, how important is baptism, right? Just a thought. Maybe you can study that out more. But notice, this demon is cast out, right? And maybe this is referencing Jesus as he is going around casting out unclean spirits, casting out demons. Notice, this blessing happens to that person. Now, that demon goes out into these waterless places looking for rest. And notice what happens. It finds none, and then it makes this response. I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Okay? So now the demon is coming back. The unclean spirit is coming back to its original host. And notice what happens. It finds the house swept and put in order. In Matthew's account, in chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, in verse 44, it's pretty much this same wording, but Matthew adds one more thing. The house is empty and swept and put in order. So now this unclean spirit has found this house empty, and notice what happens. It then goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. You see, if you remember what Jesus just taught in verses 21 through 23, right? Jesus said there was a strong man who had his palace and everything was guarded and it was all good, but then a stronger man came in. Now, Jesus is referring to himself, right? If you even look back in Luke, John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, will talk about the one mightier than I is the one who's coming, right? Jesus is being referred to as this stronger man. When the stronger man comes in, he's able to push that strong man out. See, that's Satan and that's his workers. But notice, if the stronger man's not there anymore, who's guarding the house? Right? If the stronger man is no longer in the house, what can Satan do? He can come right back in. Because you notice the first passage here, there is this meaning that Jesus is trying to get across, that a house that is unguarded becomes an open opportunity. An empty house becomes Satan's future playground. Now, I want you to think about this. When we go on vacation, what do we normally do? We make sure there's lights are on in our houses. Maybe you have timers, right? When I was younger, when we would go on vacation, my mom would have timers set all around the house. And if we had any extra cars, we would leave it outside so that way it looked like somebody was home, right? Because we don't want people coming into our house, looking in the windows or driving by and saying, ooh, they're not home. They must be on vacation, right? And it becomes an opportunity for those who like to take things. Well, even think about it in the sense of this. As Jesus is trying to explain this, he's letting them know, look, if you don't have the stronger man guarding your house, what's Satan going to do? He's going to come by and say, oh, look, it's vacant. Let me go right back on in there. Right? And so that's what Jesus is trying to teach. Yes, I can cast out unclean spirits, but if you don't replace it with the stronger man, ultimately teaching, if you don't replace it with me, guess who's coming back? Satan. You see, that happens in our life too, right? There are people who become baptized, that become Christians, and they're on fire for God, yet they don't spend the time trying to become disciples. They're super excited about being saved, but they forget there is more to it. There is now the whole idea of learning and understanding what Jesus has done and what he has taught us. You see in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, the command is to go and make disciples. How were they to do that? By baptizing them and then doing what? Teaching them all that Jesus had commanded. Because there is a moment where all of these evil, unclean things are cast out of us in baptism, right? Where all of our sins are washed away, where we're made whole, we're at peace with God, but we're leaving a void in our life. We're now leaving the world we once knew and stepping into this new world, right? Being new creatures, but yet there's going to be a void we have to fill. And if we don't fill it with Jesus, the stronger man, guess who's coming back with a vengeance? Satan will. He'll come back with his buddies and he'll try to throw all these other temptations our way, all of these other things our way, and it becomes harder. But if the stronger man's there, guess what Satan won't do? He'll be a little bit more thoughtful, right? And some of us are so worried that Satan's going to come knocking on the door. But imagine if Jesus is the one answering that door. How much better would your life be? We don't need to leave our homes unguarded. We don't need to leave our hearts unguarded because all we're going to do is give Satan an opportunity. Now, what Jesus does here is amazing because look at the next passage. Look at verses 27 and 28. Because I don't want you to see this in a different context. Because notice the very first words, as he said these things. So while he's teaching this, while he's trying to explain that, look, if you leave your house unguarded, if you leave your house empty, you're going to give Satan an opportunity. As he said that, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. Blessed is Mary is ultimately what this woman is saying. But notice what he says. Mary wasn't just blessed because she knew Jesus, right? You can go back to the beginning of Luke when she had found favor in the sight of the Lord, and then you go into Luke 1:45, and as she comes into and meets Elizabeth, what does Elizabeth say? Blessed are you because you have believed in what God has told you. She trusted, she obeyed, right? And that's a whole nother sermon in itself, being able to believe this message about conceiving a child, never having known a man, right? But she wasn't blessed just because she knew Jesus and mothered Jesus. Notice who Jesus calls blessed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now understand that verse in this context, right? He's trying to let you know that, look, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, the house is empty. But what do you need to put there? The stronger man. You want to know how you do that? Those who hear the word of God and keep it. Those who put it in their hearts. Those who make sure they fill their hearts with the stronger man, the one they know can guard their hearts. That's what we do. But not only is someone who hears the word, and we talked a little bit last week about that, the Old Testament word for hear, the Shema, here's that New Testament Greek word, akouo, right? It's the idea of hearing with the intent to obey, and not only that, they also keep it. This is cool. Look at this word. It's the Greek word phylasso. Now, what that word means, it means to guard or to keep watch. And it's the idea of observing the laws, right? And now you think about that, and when I'm keeping God's word and I'm observing his laws, it is guarding my heart. From who? From Satan. From his demons, from all the temptations that this world would want us to go after, to put into our lives, to follow. That's what his word can do for me. That's what his teachings can guard me from. Now, I want you to understand the message that Jesus is trying to teach here. Blessing comes by obeying, not just by knowing, right? Because if you notice the first part, blessed, this woman tried to say, blessed is Mary. But he said, no, she wasn't just blessed because she knew me, right? She was blessed because she obeyed me. See, blessing comes by obeying, not just by knowing Jesus. There are a lot of people in this world that claim they know Jesus, right? If you want to read an interesting passage, read Matthew 7, 21 through 23. What happened to those people who claimed to know Jesus, but they didn't actually obey his Father's will? They didn't get to receive the kingdom of heaven, right? You see, blessing doesn't just come by knowing, it comes by obeying. And we don't want to be those people who just claim to know Jesus, but we want to be people who claim to obey him, because if we obey him, he will guard our hearts from the evil one. Now, I want to put these two together and help us understand really the big message that he's trying to teach here. You see, in that first little section, we talked about how a house that is unguarded becomes an opportunity, and that blessing comes by obeying, not just by knowing. But now you think about this. To keep our house guarded, to keep our hearts guarded, we need to be obedient to God. We need to obey his word. We need to put it into our lives. James will talk about how the implanted word is able to save your souls. How many of us are going around trying to make sure God's word is implanted into our hearts? Because I promise you, Satan is going around like a roaring lion, seeking someone he may devour. Guess who the easy ones are to devour? The ones who have left their house empty. And I don't want us to be those people. I want us to have God's word in our lives. I want us to be constant. And that's why I loved hearing today people coming up to me and saying, look, I did the homework. I had it posted here. I had it posted there. I was talking about it every morning and every night, that God is my only God and I love him with all I have. Those are people who are trying to guard their hearts. And that's awesome. And I truly appreciate that. Because this world is trying to throw every evil thing at us. There is people this morning worried about floods taking their house over. And I don't know if you've heard about tariffs lately. That may be a buzzword that's going off in your mind a lot, right? Tariffs, scary, stock market crashing. What is happening? Guess what? That's Satan saying, open your door. I want to come in. Let me in. Let me convince you to be worried about everything in this world. I was talking to some people who are close to me in my life, and they were saying, I'm so worried about the stock market. Because I'm retired, and I'm worried because I don't know. All my funds in retirement are put into this stock market, and now it's going downward. That's just Satan. Can I be honest? That's him getting into your life. And I promise you, if you will let Jesus give you the peace that he can provide, you won't worry about that. He'll be the one that gets to answer the door. He'll be the one that will help you understand, look, it's going to be okay. My encouragement this week is to ask this question to yourself. Have you let your house become empty? Have you left a void there? Because we know from Jesus' teaching, someone's going to come and fill that void. Let's fill it with Jesus. Let's put his word in for us. So here's your homework. There you go. Homework's awesome. So your mission this week is to read through Psalm 119. Overachievers, you can write all of Psalm 119 if you want. It's a wonderful, wonderful exercise. I did it while I was in school, and I received extra credit for it. It was awesome. But it was also a wonderful exercise, because when you write things down, when you write scripture, you slow down, right? You get to slow down and actually see those words. That's why I loved having the scripture reading this morning be one of the passages from Psalm 119. And so what I want you to do is read through it. Read through it a bunch of times this week. And then here's a bonus thing. Notice how many words are being used to talk about God's word. Make notes of them. You'll see them. It'll talk about his precepts. It'll talk about his way. It'll talk about his truth. All of these different things. And notice as the writer is writing these things, he's saying that is what's going to keep me on the right path. I want you to read through that. And I hope through this exercise this week, you'll gain an appreciation for how amazing God's word is and how beneficial it can be in our life. Don't let your house be empty. Don't let Satan have an easy opportunity to come into your hearts. This morning, if you find yourself with an empty heart, maybe you have left Jesus out and you have been struggling and you would like to ask for prayers this morning, we would love to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to become a child of God. We have the baptistry behind us to where we can baptize you and have your sins washed away. God will make you clean. We would love for that to happen this morning. We ask that if you have any need, that you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.